tonight. Makes a man feel real good, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. I titled this message today, Chosen. I know there's a TV series about that, but I wasn't even I haven't seen that, and I've got to. I know it. I have it. Everybody keeps telling me, and then I was given one DVD to watch, and I really have no excuse. I think I've let other things kind of get in the way of what I need to be doing, and I want to watch that. I realized this week, actually in just the last day or two, I thought, you're letting yourself get too preoccupied with all this stuff. VA stuff and all. I have been from one doctor to another to another to another, and I'm worn out with it, and I've had so many tests, and I'm not trying to complain because many of you have gone through so much more, but you know what it's like to go through test after test and all this stuff, and it's like you think, okay, this is it, then they're going to do another one, and another one, and then that last one, that radioactive test, that was it. I thought, no, if they want any more, I'm saying no, that's it, you know, just enough. But anyway, apparently it all worked because they finally set the date for me on the 24th of this month. So that's now ready. And see, I'd ask your prayers for that. And I'd rather be celebrating a birthday on the 24th than I had the Roto-Rooter system. That, you know, it's what it looks like. It's like a giant Roto-Rooter. It goes in there and it's like, So anyway. So I chose the title for this. I didn't. The Lord did. I had all kinds of other special things. But then I realized, after I got to think about it, actually this morning sitting there, I thought, chosen. That's going to sound like that series, but we are chosen. So it's out of 1 Peter chapter 2, and it talks about us being chosen and what that means. And it's been a while since I brought a message directly relating to this, but the Lord just hasn't. I just go where He leads me. I don't care if it was last week. If He says continue this, we will. But somewhere in the last few years, I spoke directly to this, but we're going to come back to it. It's important. It's important to have. And we need to know our place and what that means for us. I want to be encouraging with this message. And it's meant to be. So out of 1 Peter chapter 2, Chosen. We begin with verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, or a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now look at that. Look at these words. You're chosen. You're a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people belonging to God. What for? What does all that mean? What's it about? That you may declare the praises of God who called you out of Him. It says God who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And it says, you were not a people, now receive mercy. That's for every one of us. It's not just to Israel. That's all of us who are grafted into that vine. I was reading some passages this past week, and it's really hard for us to get this concept, but you need to know it. You really need to grasp this. You know, when it talks about Abraham and the forefather and Abraham, Isaac, and all these people, and you're talking about Moses and all these promises to the forefathers. What does the Scripture say about you and me as Christians? It says we were grafted into that vine. It says we were a wild olive branch, and then we were grafted into the olive tree or the vine. So what does that mean? Friends, I don't know why nobody ever taught me this stuff. You know, I didn't learn. No, when I was a young Christian, I didn't learn it. And then even in seminary, I don't know why we missed all this going. You know, it's like, what is it? People don't push this forward. We'd see our identity a lot more. I mean, when you look at chosen generation, royal priesthood, when you ask Jesus in your heart, You are grafted in. That's what exactly the way God, through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, speaking to him, said, you're grafted in as a wild branch, olive branch, into the original olive tree. So he takes you, this wild branch, he makes a place in the original tree, and he puts you on it, and you begin to draw the sap, the spiritual strength, from that tree. You literally become a part of it, and all that that tree is, its root system, its nourishment, its the sap, the liquid, the life of the tree becomes your life. Everything that tree is or ever has been now is yours. Is everybody with me? So what this means is that the minute that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, you name it, these people are your people. These people are my people. And all the promises made to them for the Jewish people, I am grafted into that tree, that vine, they become mine. And so whatever, they become yours. And so whatever God promised them is yours and mine. And it's a hard concept. We're not over here isolated. We're grafted in. And so you're saying, wait a minute, you mean by me being grafted in, all these people, Moses, the father of faith, becomes my father. He's your spiritual? Yes, he is your spiritual relative. You're grafted into that. And every promise made for those people, to God's people, you are God's people. And you have those promises. That's pretty heavy stuff, huh? But you think about it. When we ask Jesus in our heart, we're put in the vine. We're part of the deal. So now we're drawing life, we're drawing ancestry from all these people. And so if anybody says, are you kin to the Jews? And you can literally say to them, not only am I kin, but I am a spiritual Jew. Spiritually, I'm more of a Jew right now than they are, because they as a nation don't believe. Now, one day they will, and the scripture says salvation will return to the Jews. But until it does, there's going to be a great ingathering of the Gentiles, you and me. Right now, we are the spiritual Jewish people. And a lot of folks just go, no, we're no longer Gentiles. We are adopted. We're in a new race. So then when he says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, this stuff becomes very powerful and hopefully sensitive to your heart. And I hope you see your position in this thing. You and I are it. We're his chosen people right now. He hasn't abandoned Israel, but look at Israel. They're about as apostate, about as removed from God as they can be. They're not honoring the Lord. And I'm not condemning them. We pray for the peace of Israel and the salvation of Israel. If I was president, Israel would have my support completely. Do you know why most American presidents do not support Israel? Do you know why they're afraid to? Because if they tick off the people that own the oil. And it's all a money political game. You make the people that own the oil fields mad. Your oil prices go up. Of course, we shouldn't be dependent on them in the first place, but that's another deal. But when you are dependent on foreign oil and you tick those people off, so that's why we always play the political game, and we don't want to fully support. We've had some presidents who have, but there's always the fear, let's don't make them mad, because we need the oil, when in the truth, that's the biggest lie on the face of the earth. But as long as we're subject to that, we have to be, at least on the surface, pretending not to like Israel. That's not a part of the message, but there you are. I've just been reading and studying about a bunch of that stuff, and it's like, oh, the mess we get ourselves in. You know, we get ourselves wrapped around. We get ourselves hung, our britches hung on our own pitchfork, don't we, in this country, and politically, constantly. We're falling over our own deal. But enough of that. That's not where we are today. I just thought I'd throw that in. You can go share that with your friends and neighbors, and they'll say, wow. And you can say, no more than you thought I did. Anyway, so you just need to know those little trivia things, but they're more than trivia, they're real. So we're chosen, and it says we're chosen for what? What are we chosen for? When it says you're a chosen generation, listen, first of all, get this. You didn't choose God. You think you did? You said yes to God. God chose you. Every person in this room could not be a Christian unless God chose you to be one. We're drawn because His Spirit, we come to God because God's Holy Spirit draws us to Him, and no one can come to Christ unless the Spirit draws him. We can't even take credit for that. We can't say, yes, I came to you. I'm the one that asked you. He said, nope, I'm the one that convicted you of my presence, of your sin, to repent of it. I convicted you because I chose you. I brought you into salvation because I chose you for it. Does everybody see that? We didn't choose a thing. We just said yes. God chose us. He chose us for salvation. He chose us for love. He chose us for relationship with Himself and other people. Jesus comes and knocks on the door of your heart. He comes in. He makes your heart His heart. And He comes into a dirty place and cleans it up for you. Jesus walks into a dirty heart and cleans it up. How does He do it? That's beyond me. You know, I don't know. I'm not real good at that. I've gone into some places pretty rough, and I'm thinking, oh, dear, I don't want to have to clean this place up. And Jesus willingly knocks on the door and says, if you'll let me in, I'll come in. And not only will I come in and clean your place up for you, I'll sit down and eat at the table in your heart, that old nasty table there, that place of fellowship. I'll sit there and dine with you. It'll be that clean. Does that hit you? I mean, can we fathom what that means? And so He chose us for this. And it chosen means you're set apart to bear spiritual fruit. He chose you to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you can see that over in Galatians 5. You're chosen. God chose you to be His. But what did He choose us to do in being His? Think about that. What's the last thing Jesus told His disciples, which are you and me? That's why it's important. Realize we're grafted in, same promises and same commission, same expectations with those promises. What did He say for all of His people to do? And we forget that. We get caught up in all this stuff. Is to do what? Go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I have taught you. That's what every job here. We can say, yeah, but pastors are one that's supposed to do. No, we're all ministers. That was our motto. We still put that out there. Who are the ministers of this church? You are. You used to say, we are. I'm the coach. I'm the under shepherd. I'm the teacher, the preacher. But who are the real ministers of this church? And I've said this, but it needs to be said over and over and over. You are. You are. I go somewhere, it's nice, but people expect me to. When you go, it's like, wow, they really care. It's such a difference. I've had people tell me it so many times, I just don't want to hear it anymore. But it happens. I'll go somewhere, and I'm done visiting, and then, thank you, Pastor, for coming. I know that's your job, so you had to. It's like, I'm so glad I drove all these miles to hear that. But that's just the way people perceive it. But when you do it, it's like, whoa, you didn't have to do it. Totally opposite. You didn't have to do this. You drove all those miles. Pastor Tony was here, but he had to be. That's what you pay him for. But you came on your own. And really, I'm serious. That makes the difference. It's just what changes people's lives. And that's what you're chosen to do. God put you here to do that. So just do it. I guess we could go home now. He chose you to do that. Just get on and do it. Okay, we'll close. No, not really. I can't do that. Where's more? You're God's witnesses and representatives. You're chosen to know Jesus. You're chosen to have Jesus living in you and out of you. Now, did everybody get that? You're chosen to know Jesus. You're chosen to have Jesus living in you and then living out of you, using your body as His temple. Now, having said all that, I'll never understand this. I accept it, but I don't understand it. He chose you and me. Is that right? Everybody in agreement with that? He chose you before you've been born. He put you together in your mother's womb. Is that right? How? How could any being, sounds like I always say being. I get people laugh at me and they say, the way you say that with your North Texas little twang sounds like beans instead of bean, but I can't help it. Anyway, how could he choose us, put us together in our mother's womb, and being almighty, omniscient, all-knowing God, knowing the past, present, future, everything, how in the heck could he do that, knowing every cuss word we'd ever cuss, knowing every divorce we'd ever have, knowing every sinful, stupid thing we'd ever commit? How in the world can you do that? If somebody said, Tony, before you even think of having a kid, I'm going to tell you all the things your kid's going to do, I'd say, I'll stay single. And yet, really, you know, your kid, and your kid over here, let me tell you, your kid's going to be in jail. Oh, gee, I want to have that one. Yeah, that's great. And instead, God put you together, gave you free will, and in doing it, he knew on the exact moment of the exact day everything you'd ever do, everything somebody'd do to you. He knew every temper fit you'd ever have. He knew every fit you'd throw. He knew when you're going to get mad and kick your car because it wouldn't start. He knew all of that, and he chose you anyway. And put, I mean, really, if you were in that business and, you know, here's a certain name comes up on your little, whatever God's little choosing board is, and you're saying, okay, let me look at what they're going to, they're going to do that, and they're going to get hung up on drugs, they're going to be hung up on alcohol, they're going to be an overeater, they're going to be confined for this, or going to do that, they're going to be divorced, remarried, divorced, and you're saying, okay, I'll pass on that one. And instead, God is saying, listen, look to this. God is saying, no, this one will be an example of a greater degree of my grace than some others. There you go. That's it, because he loves us so much. He creates you. He puts you here, and he already knows before he does it. That day you start making that little screaming noise in the hospital when you're first born, God is saying that's not the last time you'll be screaming in your life. And yet, I'm going to leave you here. I put you here. I created you knowing you do all this stuff. I want to say to some people who are really hanging on to some junk in their life, get over it. Because God knew it happened. And he knew somebody else would hurt you real bad, and he knew you would hurt someone real bad. I'm going to tell you this. He knew you would hurt him real bad. And he did it anyway. I can't fathom it. Why? Because I'm a finite human being, and I've been hurt by others, haven't you? Have your children ever hurt you? Have they ever made you mad enough to really not want to claim them? Where you thought maybe they were switched at the hospital. These aren't my kids. And God on purpose put us here knowing everything we do. That's how chosen we are. And some we just need to sometimes let go and get over some things. And say, you know, God knew all this, and he knew I wasn't going to be perfect, and I'm going to do my share of hurting, and people have hurt me. And there's a place to say, well, I'm that chosen? Who else? What human being would have put me here on this earth knowing I do all this stuff? Nobody. If they were looking at our lives and all the junk we've done and going to do, they say, give me another one. There's got to be another kid out there in the pool better than this one. And yet God does it. I wrestled with this on this message. I just couldn't. It's like, tell me about chosen God. What, you know, and it's like, I'll tell you about chosen. I mean, how does he speak to me? He puts his impressions in my mind, my heart. You know, I just sit there and write and write and rewrite until it comes out. And it's like, Tony, don't you, I could hear this in my head, don't you get it? I knew every mistake you'd ever make. I knew what you would do. I knew every mistake people would make towards you. And I know things you don't know yet about your future. And I know you're going to have some problems and you're going to get mad at traffic and you really are and you're going to do this and that. Well, I knew that before I made you, son, but I made you anyway. And then suddenly it comes through, I created you to my glory. You're in the process of being perfected, but you'll never be perfect till Jesus comes again. And in the meantime, you're a work in progress. In the meantime, you are saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest anybody in this room, it's a gift of God. You're not by works, lest anyone should boast. And friends, some of you need to just take a big, deep spiritual breath and say, thank you, Jesus, because nothing in my life ever surprised you, did it? He said, of course not. I knew it all. I knew when you do it, and I know some things you don't know yet. And I still love you, and I still choose you. It's like, can you really fathom it? Well, let's look at the second point. He goes on and says, not only you're chosen, but you're a royal priesthood. And it's like, God, really, seriously? You're really punching the button now. Not only do you choose us, knowing all the crud we're going to do, but you want us to be a royal priesthood? I mean, like priest. And you look at the priest of the Old Testament and the high priest, they went in once a year and they went in and they poured the blood on the horns, you know, on the altar and the burning sacrifices and all that. Well, Jesus is the great high priest, but he said, I appointed you a royal priesthood. Not only do I accept you with your imperfections, once you confess your imperfections, your sins, and your pen of them, and you accept me as Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I not only choose you for that, but I make you, I appoint you a royal priesthood. What do priests do? They preserve God's word. They protect God's church. They are teachers and servant leaders. Priests are to seek God before the people, intercede for the people, and they help other people in their walk in Christ. And that's what we do. We are literally a royal priesthood. We represent Jesus to this world. And even though we can't see it, we are clothed in robes of righteousness. That's what he says. We are his royal priesthood. And everywhere we go, we represent him. And we're there to help, to be intercessory prayer people. You with me? We intercede for people before the Lord. God, have mercy on this person. God, save this person. God, heal this person. We're supposed to do what priests do. We pray for others. We show grace to others. We stand up for others who can't stand up for themselves. And we forgive as God forgives. And we love as God loves by asking God to give me that spirit of forgiveness. God, give me that spirit of love as Jesus has, that's willing to lay down my life for another. That's what priests do. Holy stuff. Powerful stuff. It's like God chooses us with an... And we can just be such knotheads. And he says, I'm going to change this knothead into the sleekest looking, finest running horse in the whole derby. And you're going to run the race for me. Wow. I'm going to comb out all of the burrs, the cuckoo burrs, out of your mane. I'm going to let you flow in the wind. I'm going to give you strength and speed and endurance. And you're going to shine for me out here in this world. Isn't that something? That's what he does. And then he moves from chosen royal priesthood to a holy nation. And he says, what does that mean? Friends, Israel chose to reject Christ. They've suffered for it over these many years. My goodness, they've suffered. There is a penalty for rejecting Christ. There's an eternal penalty that none of us won't even think about. Because hell is the eternal penalty for rejecting Christ. And there's no coming back. But heaven is the great reward, the great gift of God for accepting Jesus Christ. And by the way, and there's no coming back. Who would want to? Who would want to? He's not going to throw you out once you're there. He's not going to kick your name out of his book once you've received him. This is powerful stuff. This is good stuff. And we're here to encourage other people and help them to understand it. And now he says, you're a holy nation. The word holy in the Greek means set apart. And literally set apart to God. So when he says you're a holy nation, it means you are a people God chose. God appointed you to be a royal priesthood and made you holy, set apart to himself. You belong to him. That's why when some of us have tried to play the Jonah thing and we ran from God or something God wanted us to do, that's why a big fish came up and swallowed you up. Because you're set apart to him and him alone. And if you start trying to misuse this temple, you want to run away with this temple, you want to get selfish with this temple, it's amazing how weird things happen to get your attention. Isn't it? Because we're holy, we're set apart to God. God made you special, and that's what I want to, this fourth point. God made you special on top of all this. What does that mean? Every person in this room has been given a certain personality. You've been given certain looks. So quit arguing with him about your looks. Get over it. Some of you have a physique that just carries nice muscle tone and all that. Others of you may have a physique that's never seen a muscle in its life. Some of you can eat anything you want and lose weight. Some of you can look at a cake in a window and gain 5 pounds. We're all different. And we get to look at each other and we watch TV. And we see all this, and it really does, whether we want to admit it or not, there's a great deal, that's what it's there for, those commercials, to influence us. Friends, if I was influenced by all the stuff on TV, I would have more medications than this table could hold right here. There is a medication for everything on the planet. Except, now also, with every one of them, if you'll pay attention, they hit that, and then they say, but if you have high blood pressure, do this, and the side effects of this are this, though this room could not hold the side effects, you know, but you can, you know, and we get influenced, and we see the people in the commercials, and I especially like the ones with the weight machines, don't you? And you know, I mean, and they're doing this, and I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, you know, those people work out 4 to 6 hours a day. That weight machine will help you. I believe I used to do them. I used to push those things when I was having to stay in shape from all this military service and all that stuff. But I'll guarantee you, to look like they look, they're working on those things out. They're paid. That's all they are, models. Get over it. God made you unique. Some of you have blue eyes, some brown eyes, some gray eyes, some we're not sure of. We're working on it. And we have all, you know, but look what's inside of you. God's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you natural abilities. He's given you means to do things, so suddenly just a light comes on and something that stands out. See, those things, he's given you the ability to see and do things other people can't see and do. Every single one of you. You're either gifted with your hands, with your mind, with speaking, all kinds of things. And just you're gifted to fix things others can't fix. Something goes on with my truck, I just stand there and go, Do I get a hammer? Do I hit it? There's some things I can do, but not very much. Why? I was never taught it, and it's not a gift. Other people say, Tony, and I've had people come out and say, you need to paint this. It's like, no, I don't. Could you help me paint it? And we've laughed about it before, so won't you? I've had, you know, really, Ped's not here, but he's run me out of that house before. Tony, go do something else. There's paint everywhere. Just go. I watch him and others, and it just, oh, it's a beautiful, it's like an artist. I do that for about 1.5 minutes, and it's like, this is good in nowhere. It just doesn't work. However, when I read, comprehension comes, and God gives me, and takes me into the Bible, and it's like, that's what I put you here to do, boy. And things just come out. And you write those and do research, and that's my thing. You know, and thinking and creating and writing down, that's what I do. Counseling with people. That's my people, life, God, that's my thing. And for some of you, it's that. But it's others, and you can just do things that I can't do. And if I measure myself to you, I feel about that high. I watch people take some wood, and just suddenly they put together something, and I'm going, how did you do that? I've had people say, get you this particular kind of saw and all, and you just cut these angles and do this stuff. You want to see me do that? It's not my thing. But God bless those who do it. Anyway, you see the point? You're gifted. You're special. God gave each one of us something or some things that nobody else can do that same way. You're just gifted to do it. I saw a lady on the street up in Junction that had a bunch of those jewelry things. And I look at yours, and bless her heart, it was terrible. She didn't have your gift. She didn't have it. And she was wanting it. But she couldn't put it together that way. And I looked at that and I thought, what a mess. Bless her heart. You know, you just kind of want to give them some money out of pity. Everybody here has a means to touch somebody else's life for the glory of God. That's the point. You're that special. You can do things that others can't do. And you need, if you don't realize that, ask God to make that very clear to you. As a matter of fact, if you want some help, ask God to get your friends to open up or your family and ask them to speak to you what they see that you can do right. What blesses them? Well, enough. You're special. He made you. God made you. He called you. He saved you. He gifted you. And by the way, in the process, He's protecting you to serve Him. He blesses you. He's here for you. And He'll never leave you, forsake you. And then I want to close. Some of the happier words you hear in any church is in closing. God made you His own people. His own special people. To proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So let me give you this. When He says He made you special, look what He's done. He chose you. He appointed you to be a royal priesthood. He made you very special. So I'm going to give you these words that most people never like to hear, but in this context, you need to hear it. Because of all this, you know how special you are? You're not normal. Some of you are trying too hard and have been all your lives to blend in with everybody else and be normal. Every believer in Jesus Christ is no longer normal. You're supernatural. You're given an eternal spirit. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, you are an alien just like me. We are aliens on this earth. We are citizens of heaven. You are not normal. So if anybody says to you, something's not right with you. You're just not normal. You can say, you got that right. So quit trying to be normal. Doesn't mean you deny your humanity, but we're not normal. Think about it. If we have this Holy Spirit and we do as Christians and we have all this calling, we're chosen, we're royal priesthood, we're specially gifted, we think different, we look at life different, everything is different. We're not normal. And there will be people the devil tries to use out there to take you down, to discourage you, to disappoint you, to say, hey, come down off your high horse. You know, that kind of talk. Don't be so heavenly minded. You don't need to argue with them, but definitely don't listen to them. Be heavenly minded. You're not normal. Don't let people make you abnormal. It's the truth. Your body is God's temple. God says you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are the product of God's love. You have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you and through you. You have an inheritance in heaven. You have God's power, God's grace. You have the love of Jesus in your heart. You have the power of God to heal from your wounds. You have the power of God to do what? To cast out demons. To speak God's word over people. You have the power by faith to move mountains. So get on with it. You really do. You have Almighty God who has given you all these things. So bring in glory. Walk out of this place and every day say, here I am, all of me, past, present, and future. But you knew all that when you made me, and I have your power. I'm specially called. I'm really chosen by you, Lord. And I'm gifted to bring you honor and glory. So be it. What do you want me to do for you today? Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, your holy word. Thank you, God, that we are chosen to be a royal priesthood. Holy, special, wow. A people of God to bring glory to God. Praise your name, Lord. God, we go forth from this place, binding the devil, looking for opportunity. And we have that healing and salvation, eternal life. We have all of that within us. And we just say this, Lord, use us to live for and bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.